Karen, good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
What is the Michigan League for Human Services?
Well, the Michigan League for Human Services is actually a statewide advocacy organization. We've been around for almost 100 years now, and the focus of our work is to work on policy changes at primarily the state level, but also the federal level, to help low-income families and children, other vulnerable populations, communities of color, and so forth.
Where does the League get its funding?
We are primarily foundation-funded, but we also receive money from members. We are a membership organization, but so, primarily foundation-funded.
So what does the state physical project director do?
Oh, I wear many hats. But the focus of my work and the project that I work on is to look at the state budget and revenues coming into the state and to try to advocate that they be used in a manner that is most helpful to people in the state. Again, our emphasis is focusing more on the low-income population here in Michigan in particular.
Well, as you know, the census information came out yesterday. Michigan was the only state to lose population between 2000 and 2010. We're going to lose a congressional seat in this state. But when looking at what you do and for the people that you serve, it's not good news because it looks like we're going to lose a lot of federal assistance monies.
Yeah, it's hard to know today exactly how it's all going to play out, but you know, some of the things that we do know is that there are about 140 federal programs that use census data to distribute the funds to the states. So when your population goes down, then you're obviously going to be getting a smaller piece of the federal pie, so to speak. In the year 2008, for example, just in that 1 year alone, Michigan received over $16 billion in federal assistance that was based on census data. So the numbers that came out yesterday are really important, and they're important not just for the next year or two, but really for the next decade, because as you know, we do this every 10 years. And so those numbers will continue to be used throughout the next decade to determine, you know, some of the state funding that will come into Michigan and to other states as well.
Karen Holcomb Merrill is the state physical project director for the Michigan League of Human Services. Karen, how many people do you serve statewide, and can you give us the number in mid-Michigan?
Well, actually, we're an advocacy organization, so we don't actually provide services for anyone. So, you know, we would say that, you know, we are advocating on behalf of all, you know, low-income families and children and individuals across the state. And we do that through producing a lot of reports and information and getting that to policymakers to, you know, in particular here in Michigan right now, obviously we have a new governor coming in and new lawmakers. And so we use a lot of data and information to try to help them understand the situation that many people and many families are facing here in Michigan right now.
Do we know how many families that is in the state?
I don't know how many families there are, per se, in Michigan. I mean, I know, obviously, with the census numbers that came out yesterday that we're, you know, just a little bit under a billion people. I don't have the number of exactly how many families that is.
Okay. Well, in the information that was released, and something that we've talked about before, there's information publicly that the gap for the budget for next year is $1.7 billion. I've had a couple of experts thinking it's going to be over $2 billion. A lot of funds is going to be missed because of the census numbers, because as you stated, for each person missed, the state loses about $10,000 over a 10-year period. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and that's what is particularly disturbing right now, is that while the census numbers are down and we're going to have less federal funding coming into the state, the need for services here in Michigan is not down, as you know. I mean, we continue to have high unemployment. It's coming down, and that's good news, but it still continues to be high. We still have a lot of folks that are working in jobs that are paying a lot less than what they were accustomed to. You know, we're seeing more people relying on food assistance and food stamps. So the needs continue to be very high here in Michigan. And so that's what's disturbing about the numbers that came out yesterday, is that, you know, how will the new governor, how will the new legislature address the $1.7 billion budget gap that you mentioned? and then factor in less federal money, but yet, again, make sure that we're meeting the needs of people here in Michigan.
According to the Brookings Institution, the top 10 federal programs that rely on census data in 2008 in Michigan were Medicaid at $10.4 billion, highway planning and construction's number two at $1 billion. And then you look at the special education grants, which is $381 million. That came in at fourth. Head Start's at $219 million. My Child's at $147 million. I just wonder where the new administration of Rick Snyder is going to find those monies.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we advocate for at the League is to take a balanced approach to trying to deal with these budget gaps. And here in Michigan, we've had budget gaps for basically the last 10 years. And we think, you know, we need to take into consideration that a lot of cuts have been made, in particular over the last several years here in Michigan. And so we need to take a balanced approach. We need to look at ways to bring additional revenues into the state. And there are a number of different ways of doing that. But this idea that, you know, we're going to just be able to cut our way out of the situation is not a good idea, and it's not something that has worked in the last several years. And as you mentioned, there are some folks that think the gap could actually be over $2 billion. That is a lot of money. And, you know, the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, has already been picked. The easy cuts, if there were any, have already occurred. So, you know, there have been some really deep cuts in some programs, and the idea that we can just go back and keep cutting is very disturbing to us.
Karen, in the last, 4 or 5 years, in your opinion, has the legislation, has the House, has Governor Jennifer Granholm's administration allocated the funds in a fair way?
Well, that's kind of a tough question. There are certainly, we have advocated for changing our tax structure so that we would have more revenue coming into the state. And clearly the legislature and the governor did not or were not able to pass legislation that would have restructured our tax system, which would have brought in more money. So that certainly is a disappointment to us. You know, we have felt that there have been a lot of short-term decisions that have been made over the last several years. The one thing the legislature did do a number of years ago was to increase the income tax a little bit, but that was done on a temporary basis, so that's going to start to phase out and starting in October of this year. And so I would say we are disappointed that a more thoughtful, comprehensive approach wasn't taken to restructuring our tax system. And until we do that, we're going to continue to have the kinds of problems we're having right now, which is a budget gap. And we need to follow into footsteps of other states that have modernized their tax structure, which we have not done.
Karen, in your opinion, challenges need the most funding or additional funding out of all the things involved? Where do we need to put more money in?
Well, that's hard to say. I wouldn't necessarily single out one thing. I think there are a number of cuts that have been made over the years that need to be restored. You know, whether it's health prevention programs, just one example where, you know, short-sighted decisions have been made to cut health prevention programs, which actually cost the state more money down the road. You know, off and on, the legislature has cut certain Medicaid services to people. It's just one example. And instead of getting help up front, instead of being able to go and see a dentist, these folks end up in the emergency room down the road. So, moving forward, it will be important to make sure that funding is available for some of those prevention programs. As we see an increase in the number of folks relying on cash assistance from the state and food benefits, it's important to make sure that there is adequate funding for those kinds of things as well. But also, stepping away a little bit from the human services arena, we need to invest in our state in a variety of ways as we want to grow out of this recession and we want to grow our economy. And that means investing in our colleges and universities. It means investing in our roads. It means investing in making this the kind of place that Michigan wants, that people want to live in here in Michigan.
Karen, we've had several experts on over the last few months talking about education from children 0 to 5.
Yes.
May be the most important thing that we can do for our state. It gets the kids off to a good start in those very formative years. And the studies have shown when these kids are educated and taken care of, it does so many things for their lives, but does so many good things for the state.
Yes, that is absolutely true, and there's a lot of really good data that shows exactly that, that by investing in our young people, investing in our very young people in that 0 to 5 range is so important, and it pays off throughout their lives, and then it pays off in terms of helping our society and economy as well as those young people become better prepared to enter the workforce and so forth. That is one example where investing in our people in the state is very important, starting when they're very young.
Karen Holcomb Merrill is the State Fiscal Project Director for the Michigan League of Human Services. Karen, thanks so much for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too, Tony.